Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NeuroDiverse Teacher Podcast. Today, my guest is Joshua Gillis. Joshua is a neuro integrator who speaks four languages, has treated over 10,000 clients, is an avid world traveler, has developed three neuro training apps, has worked with hundreds of top-tier athletes, and has been a game changer for hundreds of children impacted with learning and behavioral difficulties. Joshua is here to share the importance of how integrating our neuropostural reflexes has an immediate impact on our cognitive and behavioral abilities and their influence on how we move, perceive, and relate to the world around us. Well, I can't wait to get started on this conversation. So welcome, Joshua, to the NeuroDiverse Teacher Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Krishna. It's really nice to be here.
Excellent. Well, before we jump into learning more about your work, because I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, I'm really interested if you wouldn't mind telling me more about who you were as a learner and what school was like for you, and maybe how those experiences have brought you to where you are now professionally.
Well, brings up a lot of really, in a sense, bad memories for me.
I didn't mean to do it that way. I'm sorry.
No, but in the end, obviously, it's given me a lot of gifts, but for sure, since I was a little boy, I was definitely a diverse learner, and was held back in kindergarten. I started a little bit early, but still, I definitely was not able to be very well present in class, and always looking out the window. I played really well, though. I was really good at Hot Wheels and cars and doing all kinds of stuff. But I was really terrible sitting there learning stuff. And I always, speaking with friends as I grew up, you know, elementary school, junior high, high school, which I actually went to a ski academy. So I was very into skiing, and, you know, I had the incredible possibility of having in this academy, we had retired university professors. So we had people from Boston University, Paul Revere, Technical Institute. So we had in Vermont, and you know, a lot of the university teachers like to retire there and disappear in the forest. And so as a side job, they were. So I had amazing teachers through high school, and a lot of it was even just one-on-one. But even they didn't understand what I found out when I was 35 years old, working as a gymnastics teacher and a computer guy at this neurodiversity school, and an anthroposophy, or a Waldorf inspired school for children that had certain difficulties. And I recognized what their difficulties were. So I asked one of the doctors if I couldn't take the dyslexia test. And I found out that I was really, really extremely dyslexic. So in the sense, because there's a lot, dyslexia is a bit like, you know, autism. It could be a billion things. So my real big problem is decoding. So it shows a lot in reading. So I have a hard time my brain is working so hard trying to decode it that the sense of what it really is saying doesn't come through. As a gift, as you know, sort of the neuroplasticity would have it, the brain just doesn't give up and say, "Oh well, we're gonna be sort of in a sense handicapped, and that's just the end of the game." Mm-hmm. And what happens is that if obviously this is a bit, you know, depending on our parents and our situations, but if we're given a chance to discover what we're actually good at, then we can get hyper good in that. And that's what happened to me, is I have this hyper visual ability. So I can invent things in my brain. I don't need to write it down or anything. I can see it all in my brain, turn it, twist it, you know? So So in a sense, struggling with the homework and struggling with the note taking and struggling with all of this stuff and getting tests that I knew, I felt like the teachers were being mean to me, but the reality was that I wasn't answering the question. I was always thinking that what they were asking was way more complicated than what they were actually asking. And so I would answer way, I was like, they're like, what do you ask? What are you answering? It's like, I asked you this. And when they spoke it to me, I would be like, oh shit, of course, it's just that. It's too easy, right?
Yeah. No, I understand. I do that often. I make things way more complex than they need to. And it's just part of that neurodiverse brain just sees things in a more complex nature. And I'm glad that you mentioned how you see things in your brain, because I think a lot of people don't realize that people who are have dyslexia tend to be able to see almost things in 3D with inside their mind's eye. And it's really kind of a neat thing that people can be able to do. But I don't think people realize that there's kind of like this skill or gift that comes, like, yes, there is the struggles with dyslexia, but that fact that you can see things in that 3D model in your mind.
Well, see, this is where in a sense our I mean, this might be going off a little bit, but this is where our schooling system has to really start to learn from the Montessori, from the Waldorf and the different schools that are what you could call more project orientated, where it's not just this read and regurgitate sort of atmosphere. And in that atmosphere, it becomes obvious that what would be a handicap in the classic school setting puts you on a completely other level. And so they're just looking at you like, how do you know that stuff? Like geometry, for example. I went through geometry and I'm like, guys, what the hell is the problem here? You know, what are you doing? Give me a break. you know? And there's always a gift, never give up. But that struggle makes muscles. Mm-hmm. And it's making muscles is never a fun process. Okay. And so, you know, you don't go into the gym to make muscles and walk out without having broken a sweat. If you did, then you're probably not going to make very many muscles. Okay. Right. You need to feel it. It needs to hurt. It needs to be painful. And I say that even to people who do well in the classic sort of, learning system, because they have other muscles they need to, strengthen. Mm-hmm. And so for them to do maybe more visual training, more of that kind of imagination, kind of setting themselves in situations where drawing or different types of visual arts might not at all be anything they're gifted in. But to struggle through that will give them as well something it's like amazing, amazing, amazing gifts that at the moment you don't realize. Like, you know, you don't understand at the moment when you're in the gym sweating, for hours. And then all of a sudden, it might just be a local race or it might be the Olympics, but you're performing like you can't even believe, right?
Yeah.
And it happens in small increments and you don't notice it. You're always getting... because we always want to be better. It doesn't matter where we're at on the line. We always want to get better. Always want to get better. So, just because it's difficult, just because it's not your talents, doesn't mean that it's not worth putting time and energy into learning at least experiencing.
I love that. And it sounds like from what you just said that you didn't even realize the extent of your neurodiversity until you were an adult. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Well, honestly, I'm still not understanding it.
Okay.
So, okay. No, because I mean, if, it's like a butterfly, they don't know how beautiful they are. It's like a jaguar. They don't understand how fast and beautifully they run. Mm-hmm. Gorilla doesn't understand his immense power. They just, what he just what he is, right? I mean, it's just what they are. And I think we don't have in our society a good way to understand how beautiful we are individually. And And because we try to be cookie-cutted into being something. And it's like, there's like this, you know, excuse, like, you know, if we talk about poor girls, you know, like on TikTok, it's like there they have this, you know, cookie cutter thing where even apps are making other girls look really just off the charts, you know. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's good, but sexualized,
yeah,
and perfect to a certain point of view. And guys, the same thing. Look at these like hulks and everything. I was like, what the hell? And, I mean, I'm just some so, you know, our society is really just going in a super, super bad direction, yeah, as far as understanding what are the diverse abilities. So Gardner, for example, and his 9 abilities would be just a simple, good starting place for that, you know, to understand, oh, I'm more of this kind of a person, I'm more of that kind of a person. And once we put it into those contexts, it's less personal,
mm-hmm,
like in a sense. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, is that because we're born with a certain array of abilities. Okay. Mm-hmm. And these are all based on our basic neuro construction, neuro ability. And so we're in a sense all limited, especially since kids are playing less, because the first and most important neurological pathways being created in our brain are the sensory motor, mm-hmm, vision, hearing, touching, and, you know, pressure under the feet, and the proper movement patterns that we need to learn, you know, when we're climbing and running and chasing each other. And so there we're building up our very first neurological pathways to our brain. And now that might seem like a nothing, like, yeah, and so, but once we understand, like, and it was like the most amazing moment I probably, like, almost in my life, besides seeing my kids born. One of my kids was born at 3:40 in the morning in Stockholm, minus 20 degrees in the back of my car. Okay.
Oh man. That's an experience.
Was born because we didn't want to risk anything. I caught him at home. So,
oh, wow.
I was the first person to touch my children. And wow. I definitely, definitely think that every man should be at least present, at least if you're not, you know, really receiving your children into the world. Because for one, you can't imagine what pain is until you see a woman giving birth.
Yeah. I've done it twice. Yeah.
No. You don't understand. No. it's easier to do it than it is to see it.
I don't know about that.
I promise you, because it is one of the most gut-wrenching things to go through, because you can't do anything about it. At least you've got all the OxyContin, endorphins, you're going, right? Where they're like, okay, we're on adrenaline, but.
I guess it's definitely everyone has their own experience.
No, but I can promise you, I'm not going to absolutely diminish what kind of pain you've been through, but I think it's worth for a man to see that.
Yes, I agree.
To appreciate sort of, that's some amazing, you got, your women are just some amazing being, you know, just some amazing cute things. Actually, I don't even know what they're calling it. But in any case, so we're born with a certain kind of constellation,
mm-hmm,
of these neurological abilities. And once I understood that the evolution of the nervous system went from a single neuron in a jellyfish, okay, mm-hmm, single neuron of jellyfish, then it seems to me that the jellyfish mutated into multiple jellyfish on top of each other, where the single neuron was connected to another single neuron, which was connected to another single neuron, and that became the worm. Okay, so each segment of a worm is almost like the body of a jellyfish.
Okay.
And the tentacles, instead of going out, go in around the intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got all of these neurons going around the intestine, reading all of the biochemistry and creating what's called the network, okay? Mm-hmm. At a certain point, from its stomach, it developed a nerve that divided in two and created two light sensors, okay? And then another 20 million years, on that same nerve, it created a heart, so it didn't need to continually move in order to pump all of its blood and fluids around. Mm-hmm. So then the next step in evolution is actually the fish, in the vertebrate evolution. Mm-hmm. And it makes no sense, because as soon as you have a brain, where did that brain come from? This one. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, the first brain is the network. A single neuron is hard to call a brain, but okay, that's a very, 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 very simple one-neuron brain. It mm-hmm. became a network, one-to-one-to-one, like a train station, okay? And then what happened is the brain, this worm never disappeared. It created an exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. Because the gastroenteric nervous system is a network neural system.
Okay. I'm following you. I can see all of this in my mind as you're explaining this.
Exactly. So what happened is that the worm needed a second brain on that nerve that today we call the vagus nerve.
Ah, okay.
And if we know anything about anatomy, the eyes are the only sensory system that do not exit the cranium and come back into the brain. Mm-hmm. It has it's directly wired to the brain mm-hmm. inside. And that only makes sense if you understand that the brain was attached to that ancient vagus nerve mm-hmm. that the worm created. And so we have a complete and coherent evolution of the nervous system. So this isn't the second, it's the, this isn't the first brain, it's the second brain.
That's really interesting.
Well, it just totally makes so much sense about so many things, and we can take them one by one if you want. But so this brain was designed and created it needed this matrix, right? Because this mm-hmm. brain is a matrix, so it's not 1 to 1 to 1; it's 1 to 100, and then 1 to each of those is to another thousands, even, right? So mm-hmm. now we have, you know, an exponential possibilities of connections within these very minute spaces. So it just becomes this amazing computing machine. Obviously, it wasn't what it is today when it first started, but it was still right. our primordial, you know, brain. Mm-hmm. And so, which is where all the real action in, you know, if we understand it right, takes place. And so we can do a little bit this relationship between the stomach and the brain. So we know the vagal nerve has about 95% of its communication going to the brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. So who's telling what to do? Okay. And so it wouldn't make sense if it was the other way around. Otherwise it would be the brain telling the gut what to do. Also, if we look
can
at...
Can I tell you, you just blew my mind, because I know about the gut-mind connection. I know about how people talk about anxiety related to the vagus nerve, but I don't know that I had ever thought about it in that reverse type of scenario that you just mentioned.
I have never heard of it ever mentioned anywhere. As far as I know, I'm the only one who's talking about this stuff, as far as I know.
But what you just said just made my brain like come to a screeching halt and go, wait a second, why does that make as much sense as it does?
Right. It's not like it goes in the face mm-hmm. of anything, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it makes you understand why so many of these really complex psychological, analytical, all these neurological theories and everything make, in a sense, don't make sense, because they're just like, they don't seem to be connected to anything, right? Mm-hmm. They're all of these like hypothetical, theoretical, really intellectual models of how it's all supposed to work. Mm-hmm. But what are they doing with it? I mean, honestly, what are they doing with all of this knowledge? I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, other than being able to observe, you know, they have the the functional MRIs and all these incredible things, and they're observing, but they still can't understand why when a motorcyclist who hit his head or her head is in the hospital, in a coma, they have no EEG reading whatsoever. As far as they know, there's their brain dead. Mm-hmm. They wake up 3 months later and remember every moment of those 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't explain it.
So what are you, are you saying that they are experiencing it essentially through that first brain then, and then it's getting transported into what we think of our kind of control or computer system brain?
You're giving modern science way too much credit.
Okay.
They have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay.
They have no idea what they're other than that they are measuring, they are locating, this is where the word and is, this is where the word the is, and I mean, mm-hmm. What's that? I mean, is that giving humanity any kind of quality of life differences? No, none, zero. And not only that, they can't even apply it because, and I tell you the difference, one of my clients was, I don't remember the name of the disease, but he and his brother is really terrible. They were normal children until about 6 years old, and then something happens. And then only their head and their trunks grow, and then their limbs stay, and they become retarded. And so these guys had, like, they literally could not communicate. They could not eat. They were having anywhere between 10 and like 50 epileptic seizures per day. Mm. You know what? They had, according to neuroscience, beautiful brains.
So was it something that they were exposed to, or was this a developmental thing that led to the intellectual disability?
Okay. And so there's a difference between both, either kind of trauma or situation. One is a blunt trauma. Mm-hmm. The other is a neurological situation that's I want to call it innate. So it's within them. It's not like you know, they lost oxygen, or they were hit by a truck, or you know, they had something pierce their brain, or so we're talking about. We're talking about two very different, or even like, what's it called? Or even like a stroke, you know, these are different situations, because we've seen when children are born with half a brain, they can grow up absolutely, completely normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, right? I mean, absolutely. But I ask, so I had a nephew who passed away, unfortunately, when he was a year old, and it was from a mitochondrial disorder. And it was like he was developing typically until about 2 months old. And then all of a sudden, it was like watching him decline, almost like develop backwards for what was the remaining year of his life. And that's why I'm curious if this is something that it was it like a genetic kind of mitochondrial at the cellular level happening thing. I mean, it doesn't sound like there was an external force. It's just
no.
I'm curious to how
it was something similar. It was something similar, but obviously very different, because their trunks and heads were normal size, but their legs were tiny and the arms were tiny. So I don't remember. I don't study disease. I study health.
Right.
So I know how to get people healthy regardless of, I mean, obviously there are certain limitations once you get to a certain point.
Right. Absolutely.
But like, if I may talk. So there's one more little thing about that. So we have 95% going up to our brain, and then we have something very interesting, serotonin and melatonin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know where those happen to be produced to 90 to 95%?
Is it in your gut?
Yes.
Okay.
And so imagine if this isn't a primitive feedback system of the gut telling the brain that it did a good job.
Interesting.
You got me the right food. Ooh, the intestine's happy. I'll give you my second brain. It's a way of communicating and give it peace and happiness and good feelings. And this puts also way more importance and understanding of what that whole leaky gut thing is about and why it's So important. But I can tell you, it's also really much easier than what a lot of people think to fix. When you understand what's going on from an evolutionary point of view, rather than a modern chemistry and the gut and the flora and all this craziness. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at it from, because what happened was, is I started understanding that, so that there was, that this was the relationship. And the most extreme application of this is in sort of psychological pathologies, mm-hmm. and cerebral palsy.
Hmm. Okay.
So I can tell you 100% that if I can teach parents, or we can get my hands on a child who is at like as young as possible. So mm-hmm. under 15 would be the best. Under 10 would be amazing. Under 5 would be, you know, it would be, they would never even know what happened. Mm-hmm. Through working with releasing gut tension, mm-hmm. we can totally bring them back. It's gut tension, but it's not inside the gut. It's the actual muscle and tissue mm-hmm. of the gut. Mm-hmm. And so I just leave that as a parenthesis. I was just like giving some people some, you know, taking away the modern milk. I call it modern milk because milk from once upon a time was actually, you know, very different kind mm-hmm. of food than it is today.
Yeah.
Take away processed meats, take away, the artificial sugars. So mm-hmm. aspartame basically. And basically just doing that and flour, refined flour. Mm-hmm. You can just do that. I was seeing huge differences. Like in just a few weeks, I was getting changes in arthritis, arthrosis, all these aches and pains, children with headaches that were just like having to stay at home from school, from the excruciating migraines they were suffering from,
yeah.
women's health problems, all kinds of different stuff. But so I started looking deeper into it. And when I started looking at the space where the actual nerve endings were in the intestine, mm-hmm. it was basically filled with calcium ions. And so I was like, oh my God, calcium. So the electrolytic, it needs that electrolytic environment in order to mm-hmm. fire properly. Mm-hmm. And when you have toxins crossing that barrier, entering that fluid area, then what happens is that the toxins are sort of using that, attracted to the negative ion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking away the proper neural environment of the gut. So that's why we're not happy. And so what happened was, is I discovered by giving people simply calcium, magnesium, I use the calcium, magnesium, vitamin from Nutrilite. I say that, I don't make any money on it, but I know that it works. I know that that brand has an amazing calcium. I've seen it work with children, with adults, with elderly, with everybody. Some other ones that I've used, I've seen different problems, different issues. So I can only say that the only one, or the one that I've had like sort of 95% success with, is the Nutrilite. So
okay.
You can get it on Amway or directly from Amazon.
Okay.
So, but that's the CalMag vitamin D, amazing. One tablet, they talk about 3-4, one mm-hmm. tablet before going to bed will change almost everybody's life.
Wow. Okay.
No, seriously, it's just off the charts. And then another one for gut health is actually, there's another simple, basic sort of generic thing to be done is it's called colon cleanse from supersmart.com. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a terrible name, but it's actually a French company that now has a distribution center in the United States. And mm-hmm. the French guy's last name was actually Smart. So he was being a wise guy. Mm. He called it supersmart.com.
Super smart. That's funny.
It just sounds terrible in English, but it's actually the founder's his last name. And they have the most incredible products, but also their description, it's just like the most incredible, like encyclopedia of herbs and supplements. It's in like 50 languages.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's a great sort of site to go to, even just for referencing.
Have you ever heard of something called Gutwise? Just out of curiosity, or NAD?
No.
Okay.
Because honestly, this is like a broad spectrum, mm-hmm. really, really, really sort of simple gut wellness. It's not going to mm-hmm. do anything special. It's just mm-hmm. simple cleansing of the intestine, some disinflammation. So it's really good for diverticulitis. What's it called mm-hmm. in English?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I don't. It's like right on the tip of my tongue, and because my father-in-law had it actually.
It's really good for that. Mm-hmm. It's really good for that, cleansing out all, and so those are the two products that I use like generically mm-hmm. with basically everybody over 15, mm-hmm. and with the little kids, I use the chewable multivitamin from Nutrilite as well.
Okay.
They have just amazing. Nutrilite just has like off the charts products. There's nobody that even touches them. I say that just straight up because they're checking blood chemistry, cellular mm-hmm. chemistry, and also sort of the genetic changes that happen, genetic wellness.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody is doing that at their level. They've been doing that since the 90s.
Is this all part of now living? Is this what you do as part of now living? Is helping people understand this and really get to understand how their gut health really impacts who they are at a neuro level?
Not at all. No.
Okay, so then get me up to speed there then.
So again, it's our first brain. Mm-hmm. So it is the basis of our neurological well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one of the best examples, I don't know if you heard anything about this heavyweight boxing thing that just went on, that Deontay Wilder was fighting this Finnish guy, Robert Hellenius. I don't know if you know that, but anyways, Robert was a client of mine back in 2014.
Okay.
He was actually second in the world in 2012 when he injured his shoulder and mm-hmm. busted a tendon in his right hand. Mm-hmm. And what's it called? He after 2 years, the best physical therapist in the world in Germany for boxing, couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Mm-hmm. He went back to Finland and was basically looking for work in, you know, menial work in a factory from the island. His career was over. Mm-hmm. And we got in touch, me and this Finnish guy who happened to live on the same little island. It was just crazy. Got in touch with his father and said, hey, do you want to try something different? We don't promise anything, but, you know, it might be worth it. In one treatment, his arm was working 80% better than it was before.
Wow.
And in 3 months, he was back boxing. And in, well, whatever it is now, I mean, take away the 2 years of COVID, basically four years, five years, he's back on the top of the world again. He wow. lost the fight, but still. So that's the power. But this guy was eating so bad. No wonder why he was all inflamed. He was like going to Burger King and Taco Bell and like this every day.
Yeah.
So we got upset with him. We got him to take care of his gut. I mean, that wasn't the only part of it, but I'm sure that aided in the velocity of the improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, you know, that it is our first brain, it's definitely worth considering, you know, those simple little thoughts and, you know, just try it. You know, you'd be really shocked. Don't worry about meat or not meat. Just take away those refined meats and all that stuff and just see what happens. Anyhow, what I do is I work with the original programming mm-hmm. that the second brain was based on, which was sensory input, motor output.
Okay.
Right. So this was designed in order to handle all of these new sensory gadgets that were being added on around the worm or the modern day intestine. and all of these body parts. Mm-hmm. There needed to be a connection. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and it needed to be fast. It needs to be, that's why he needed that matrix brain before he could do it. And so when that matrix brain came online, and there was this sensory motor connection and the programming in between. So sensory input. So if it's visual, if it's hearing, if it's sensory, it will go to a certain part of the brain. There will be a neural program that will understand that input and create immediately a motor output. Mm. That's interesting from a lot of points of view, but basically, the original neural programming of the brain was, if this sensory input, then this motor output. If this happens, then I do this. Okay. If that happens, then I do this. If I see a big fish coming at me really fast, escape. Okay.
Right.
Really fast.
Right.
If I'm feeling the current coming over my skin at a certain speed, but I really want to keep eating that specific plant that I'm enjoying, right? Then I have to be able to calculate the speed of that current of the water so that I can stay stationary. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have fin sensors about how much I'm pushing, skin sensors about how much water is passing over my skin, mm-hmm. my body. And all of that is streaming in real time into the brain. And the brain is making all of these incredibly minute and instantaneous nearly changes in order to anticipate and work with all of this information that's coming in mm-hmm. order to be able to make a coherent expression of into the world, into the 3D world that we have around us. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the development of the embryo, what we notice is that there is actually each of these phases of evolution mm-hmm. that the embryo passes through. There's the fish, reptilian, mammal, and human stage.
Interesting.
And so I figured that out later after mm-hmm. I kind of threw away the first system that I worked with, which was basically from Mazgutova, mm-hmm. Svetlana Mazgutova method, and then also the Doman method. These are the big schools of that Jews have been using this sort mm-hmm. of childhood reflexes since the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it hadn't changed until now, until this. They were going with the classic scientific way of looking at the body in everything in piecemeal. Mm-hmm. This piece, that piece. When I came at it, I looked at it from a holistic point of view. Mm-hmm. I looked at it from the full body point of view, and I started torturing my clients, started poking them here, poking them there, and I watched them jumping mm-hmm. around the table, and depending upon what injuries they had and whatever, they made always the same movements or didn't have injuries. And so after years, sort of this movement systems came into, you know, sort of became clear, which is a grateful gift from my sort of dyslexia that mm-hmm. created these visual, hyper-visual abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put together a training system, and I call that Neurofunk. You can go to my site at nowliving.today mm-hmm. and you can go to the neurotraining applications you can download the app. You can either watch it on your computer on the web version. The web version you can watch on your telephone as well. It works the same mm-hmm. as going. It's actually the only one that really I'm telling people to use today. Nobody's using, or very few people are using the iPhone and the Google, the Android versions. But anyhow, and that was the first system I developed. And then this Finnish guy, he's like, hey, Josh, have you heard of this guy from Maine? And Maine is where I'm from. And mm-hmm. he's like, who put together this thing called Anatomy Trains. I was like, no, I've never heard of that. What is it? He's like, oh, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. I was like, yeah, okay. And I was all into this neurological stuff and not into the anatomy. And then like a year later, I'm like, let me check out this anatomy. Each one of his meridians, his anatomy trains, fits perfectly on the movements.
Crazy. That's telling, right? When it lines up, that's pretty telling. Right? That's interesting.
Right? So it was like, for me, it was like, you know, like the biggest blessing from God that I could have ever received. It was like, here, Josh, you know, I'm just telling you, you did something. You were going in the right, because you never know, right? When you're pounding new ground and, you know, heading headlong into the jungle, you never really know, you know, your direction, and you get feedback, immediate feedback from clients, which is nice, you know, and mm-hmm. you can see obviously that it's working. I mean, mm-hmm. helping a child with cerebral palsy that nobody else can help is, you know, helping world-class athletes that nobody else can help, or arthritis and arthrosis on 70, 80-year-olds that everybody is just like, you know, they give you the sign of the peace and say, you know, take some painkillers. You can help them, you know, radically reduce pain and increase, especially I was living in Italy when I was doing this. So these women are getting back up and they're cooking for their families on Sundays. And so, you know, that's probably more important than a world-class athlete, in my opinion.
I mean, that is amazing. And so let me ask you, because we're getting close to the end of our interview here. And I want to make sure if people want to work with you, reach out to you, learn more about what you can do for them, what would be the best way for them to go about doing so?
So, an email, just going to nowliving.today, nowliving.today, which is actually the whole URL. You don't need to write anything else. And then email me. I'm traveling around the United States now. I'm here in Southern California in the high desert, waiting actually to go meet some more athletes. But what I do is I'm traveling around the United States, speaking to schools, you know, physical therapists, anybody that will in the area that I happen to be at, be driving through and just feel like stopping at. Mm-hmm. And you know, I haven't been doing so much podcasting or you know, YouTubing or you know, Facebooking and everything like that. But I'll be slowly developing that. But for sure, you know, get in touch, and this is the stimulus that's going to help me also to get, you know, out of this COVID blues and get back into some working, you know, hardworking ethics and getting some things done.
Amazing. Well, my last question for you before we go, and I ask this of all my guests, is if you could give any advice to youth or young adults who are currently struggling academically or social emotionally, what advice would you give?
So, it's not you. Okay. It's not you. Don't like, there's a difference between what your physical, cognitive, or even emotional ability is and who and what you are. So I gave some we did a really good job covering the intestine, which is great. So go back and do the neuro training. As silly as it is, as simple as it looks, if you're having difficulties posturally, like in sport or just walking or whatever, or cognitively, you're having difficult with, it doesn't matter if you're artistically gifted or you're intellectually gifted, you can improve your cognitive ability by doing these exercises, as well as your emotional quotient. So your ability, what I call empathy. So your ability to interact with human beings. So to understand people and then to read back, because it has to all go through our sensory system. And when we're doing the neuro training, we're refining, perfecting, and reinforcing all of these micro neurological programs that are the basic architecture of our brain. And so when you start doing that, I don't care, like, if you're a straight A student on the varsity team and, you know, like, you know, the quarterback, you know, whatever, or the lead cheerleader, you can get better. Every soccer player from Bayern Monaco, every the skiers from the Swedish national team, the best boxers from the Italian national team, all of them were so far down on their sort of instinctual ability to use their bodies, mm-hmm. that all of them improved, like, not just a little bit, a lot. So just because you're the best, believe me, it's excuse me if I say this, but it's not because humanity is any particularly high levels right now. We can improve our game so much. And one more little thing, Christian, which is so important to understand, is that by taking away these layers of neurology, mm-hmm. what I understood was that I didn't really need any convincing before, but what I really understood was that we have a soul, mm-hmm. that our soul, our personality is fighting through our neurology. And that fight is what we call our character.
Yeah.
And when I've improved the character, which is based on our instinctual ability to use our bodies, the neuropostural and dynamic programming, mm-hmm. their personality started to shine through. And so it didn't matter if they were 2 years old or 20 or 40 or 60. Their lives completely changed.
Wow.
And it's like, I mean, it is, it's missing one thing though, and that is the Eastern philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit dry. It's a little bit Western, you know, it's just movement. So there's no real philosophy and everything like that. But just know that by doing the fish level, you're awakening your curiosity. When you do the reptilian level, you're awakening your courage. When you're going through the mammal level, you're awakening your empathy. And when you go to the human level, you're, who knows what you're awakening.
Well, I love it. And Joshua, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. I truly appreciate it. And to all my listeners.
It was wonderful.
Thank you. And for all my listeners out there, thank you for joining us. And I will see you next Friday on the NeuroDiverse Teacher Podcast.
Okay. I look forward to hearing from everybody.